We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us aware and conscious of them and enable us to continuously express gratitude for them. All the blessings, those we know, those we don't know, those we perceive, those we don't perceive, those we can see, those we cannot see. And many times when the blessing is taken away, then we only realize that the blessing was there in the first place. So we don't know which are the blessings, and we are direly in need of every blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more shukr we make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only keep them with us, but He will increase us in all these blessings. Respected friends and brothers, we are busy with a series, alhamdulillah, on the four treasures which a believer fundamentally is supposed to have. And if a person has got these four treasures, in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he can lose the entire world. He can lose whatever he wants to lose, whatever has to be lost. But this person here has actually lost nothing, which means that these are so valuable treasures, these are so important and precious characteristics, that if a person holds on to them at the expense of losing whatever worldly benefit or saving himself from any worldly harm, if he sticks to them, then he has held on to a very, very important capital and something that makes up his iman. It is the treasures of a believer, which means that they are strongly linked to the iman of a person. They are strongly linked to the belief of a person. Now we discuss these three, alhamdulillah. The first one, just to recap, and each one we must always keep in mind as we mention them. We just tick a tick box, tick it off in our mind that alhamdulillah, I have got this particular quality in me, and therefore I am a believer, and I am very, very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me this precious gift which makes up a believer. So the first thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made mention of was husnul khuluq, that is beautiful character. It is part of an iman of a person. And a believer can only have good character. And good character, we mentioned, is not when we are all the time, everything is fine, then we are smiling and we are good to everybody and we are conducting ourselves in a very good way. When we are challenged sometimes, our egos are trampled on sometimes and something goes wrong and somebody irritates us and somebody takes off with us at that time, how we respond at that time, that is the time the real challenge comes to see. If we have got that quality and that capital, that precious treasure with us, it will come to the fore. The second one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said was halal, unblemished, untainted morsel. That means the smallest thing that you can think of that goes in your mouth is a morsel. Every morsel that goes down in your mouth is halal. It has not been acquired in any haram way. Last week's Friday bayan was about livelihood and the importance of acquiring it in a halal way. So that was expanded upon, and a few weeks also we discussed on the same thing. Then the third thing, my respected friends and brothers, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention of is a treasure of a believer is sidqu hadithin. He is honest and he is truthful in his speech. And when we speak of speech, we said it covers anything and everything that a person expresses in terms of his honesty. He does not lie with his mouth, he does not lie with his action, he does not lie with his pen. He is honest all the way. It goes with iman for a person to be honest and truthful. And that brings us to the fourth one, which will be the discussion today. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the fourth treasure of a believer is hifzu amanatin, safeguarding of amana. And this is a very, very important and a great quality, a most beautiful treasure which a person has with him. So when we translate the word amana, first of all, then we say, what does it mean? So it means trust. And it means trustworthiness. It goes hand in hand with that. And in the Quran and in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find this word repeatedly used, amana. And many times we also use the word amana in our daily discussions and activities and interactions. But this word amana, we must remember, it means safeguarding and being consciously considerate of whatever has been entrusted to you, to be consciously considerate and faithful and loyal and safeguard that what has been entrusted to you. So each one of us has got something as in the form of a trust with us. And how are we looking after it and considering it, especially when there are certain interactions that have to take place, then it will come to the fore whether we can call ourselves 100% mu'mineen and believers, because we have got this last quality. And no matter what happens, we can lose the whole world. We can lose whatever we have to. But when it comes to amana, honesty, and trustworthiness, we will not let it go. So my respected friends and brothers, there are basically three levels of amana. We won't go into all of them. We will speak on those that are in context of the discussion that is taking place in the past three series. The three levels of amana, one is trustworthiness between man and creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran. Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. That Allah says we had presented the amana, the trust, to the mountains and to the earth, and they did not accept it. And who accepted it? Hamalha al-insan. Man has taken that amana and that trust. There's a long discussion on that particular word as it appears in the Quran. But in one line, we will say it means the acceptance of the responsibility of fulfilling the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an insan, Allah says, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. Every human being is supposed to have this amana. So that's the first level of amana. Then the second level of amana is where a person between himself, that means his own nafs, his own self, his own actions, his own deeds, his own heart, his own iman, his own honesty, everything relating to himself. So there is a second level. We can fool the whole world, my respected friends and brothers. We can lie to them. We can put up a show. We can do. But inside, we know what we are. And we know how honest or how dishonest we are. We know how trustworthy and how untrustworthy we are. We know whatever we are. So when no one is around, no one is watching us, at that time, we act in a manner that I don't want to fool anybody else. I don't want to be living in a fool's paradise. It's no sense I carry on putting up a front. So at that time, a person knows what he is, and he is honest and truthful to himself. So that's a different discussion. And the third level of amana is the one that falls in the context of our series, that how do we exercise amana and honesty and trustworthiness in our daily interaction with people and with human beings. And that is what is the thrust of the discussion here, inshallah, today. So my respected friends and brothers, they are the three. In what do we show amana? In what do we show our trustworthiness? First of all, the one is that Allah has given us our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us body functions that are working properly. These are amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we safeguard them? How do we consider ourselves when we are looking at them? The eyes, you know, they say khiyanatul a'yun. The dishonesty of the eyes. Khiyana is the opposite of amana. When a person deals with anything in an honest way, so that means he's fulfilling and considering that amana. And if a person deals with it in a bad way, then obviously that is khiyana, that is dishonesty. So all these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they have been entrusted to us. That was the first word we used right in the introduction. How are we safeguarding these things that have been entrusted to us? Everything is a trust to us. So according to Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions in his book Siratul Nabi, he mentions a very good thing, and it's good for us, it relates to all of us. He says, if a person has taken a woman into his marriage in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter he fails to fulfill his responsibilities towards her, in other words, he does not see to her needs, and he neglects her, and he does not give the required maintenance, and he handles her in a most abusive manner, all these things, then this person here has made khiyanat. He has been dishonest and he has misappropriated in the ni'mat and khiyanat of the wife that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So this wife is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is just one of the things that have been mentioned. And then also when it comes to the, so one is our personal things. The position and the possession that we have. So somebody, mashallah, has got a lot of wealth. Somebody has got belongings. All these things have been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how we use them, how we are of service to them, and let them be of service to others. How we benefit from it and how we let others benefit from it will determine whether we are fulfilling the amana in this particular thing. So whether it's position, whether it's possession, whether it is wealth, some people feel, you know, it's my wealth, I can do what I want to with it. Who is here to tell me? No, it's an amanat. Allah Ta'ala has given it and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can take it away. So there's a second thing also that we must keep in mind when it comes to amanah. And then, my respected friends and brothers, coming to what we said, the third one is that how do we interact with people in our daily dealings and interactions with people? How much of amanah and trustworthiness we are exercising there? And if a person can fulfill that amanah, and then that will definitely form a great part of his iman. But remember, these four things are all linked to iman. When we spoke of the first treasure in the, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that it is beautiful character. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, that the most perfect of iman believers are those whose character is the most beautiful. So your character is linked to your iman. If there's no character, there's a major problem with the iman. The same discussion we're having of amanah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently used to say on the mimbar, la imana liman la amanata lah. There is no iman. The person got no belief if he does not have this concept of safeguarding and being loyal towards his trust. So it is linked to our iman. And the same with our wealth, the same with what we are eating, it is also linked to our iman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the believers and says, eat from that what is halal, O believers. Iman and halal food goes hand in hand. And the third one, which we mentioned, is speaking the truth is part of iman, my respected friends and brothers. The ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked iman with truthfulness, and truthfulness in speech and truthfulness generally. So there's a beautiful ayat of the Quran. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. So where do we as believers fit in this ayat here? This ayat was revealed to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a very special occasion, when it was the occasion of the Fath Makkah, and he acquired the key of the Kaaba from the guardians and the custodians of the key. They were known as the Shaybi family. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested for the key. Uthman bin Talha Shaybi, he first didn't want to give it, but then in case he finally had to release the key to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the Kaaba and went inside, and we know the whole history. And when he came out, that key was in his hands. That key was not in the hand of the believer. It was in the hand of a believing conqueror, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a position and an occasion for him to say, you disbelievers, you always used to deprive us of coming in the Kaaba. I got the keys today. But he didn't do that. He had to return the key to the people that Allah Ta'ala had decided that they must keep the key. And so this ayat was revealed that Allah commands you that you must fulfill the rights and the amanah, the trust towards that people. Let me give the key back to that person. Obviously, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have given it, because we come to the second thing, that one of the titles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Al-Amin, mean that one who was at all times regarded as trustworthy, one who was careful of the amanah. So when people used to leave things with him, at that time, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trusted by the people. So that, my respected friends and brothers, brings us to the second aspect of amanah. Then Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention of the loss of this gift and this precious treasure. He says that amanah will be in the people's hearts. There will always be trustworthiness, and there will be a time when a person will be sleeping. He'll be sleeping. And when he gets up, by that time the amanah would have been snatched. So it's something in the heart of a person. It will be taken out of his heart. And it will leave the traces behind in the heart. In which manner? In the same manner, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if a smoldering coal has to fall on your body, on your leg, and how that thing will leave behind blisters and redness and a burning sensation. You know what will happen if you let some hot coal touch your body. But the coal is gone, the fire is gone, there's no spark, there's no flame there. It's just that hot coal that went on your body. But what it leaves behind, a scar and a mark and an effect. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in the same way, the amanah will leave its effect and its trace there, but there will no longer be any amanah in a person. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, people will now be dealing with each other, but there will be absolutely no trust and trustworthiness between them. There will be no safeguarding of confidentiality and everything else that goes with it, to such an extent when it will be said to the people, they will say that, you know how scarce manna has become, but there's one person there in that one tribe, he is trustworthy. So scarce. That means everyone else cannot be trusted. Some fellow somewhere in a certain tribe, that is how it is going to be said. So my respected friends and brothers, that is how this beautiful gift, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is going to be lost. So my brothers, what we are saying in conclusion is that each one of us seated here have to ask ourselves the question that to what level do I possess this beautiful gift of safeguarding the amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, and in my daily interaction with people, how honest am I? We're all holding positions. One is, like I said, the nafs, the one with ourselves, the one is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the one is with the people that we are interacting on a daily basis. Sometimes there are people in partnerships, and it happens that it can be very, very alluring and tempting for him that he can just make a, you know, get away with some things, and his partner does not know about it. So there he has violated trust, he has breached amana. Likewise, we find that people who are holding managerial positions, the owner has kept you in charge. At that time, how you conduct yourself in honesty and trustworthiness in everything that has been placed under your care and entrusted with you. If a person is not careful at that time, he must ask himself, that am I a mu'min? Am I a believer? Am I supposed to violate? And if the temptation is strong, he will get some benefit of the world, but he has lost the greatest gift, which is synonymous with his iman, my respected friends and brothers. Then we have in cases where, you know, information, many times a mashwara takes place, and they say this is a mashwara behind closed doors. All mashwara is normally supposed to be amana. People discuss it, and many times before the closed doors are open, the story is already out on the other side. So somebody had violated and breached the principles of amana and trustworthiness, so that is taken away from there. Or somebody will come and tell us something in our ears, that I'm telling you this in confidentiality, in confidence, please don't let it out. And then we go tell the other fellow, I'm telling you this in confidence, don't let it out. And the other fellow tells the other one. And so everybody knows in confidence what was supposed to be a secret, my respected friends and brothers. But all this happens as a result of amana being violated. And if a person does that, then he needs to ask himself the question, that am I actually a believer, and how much of my iman is with? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us that one of the signs of a munafiq is this, that when he is entrusted with something, he violates it and he breaches it. Who wants to be judged as a munafiq? Who wants to die as a munafiq? The munafiq's real reality will come to him when he's on his deathbed and the kalima doesn't want to come out. There was no iman there in the first place. It was artificial kalima. It was an artificial facade that he had put up. And at the time of death, only what is true will come out of the heart. So if we develop this quality, and if we are at all times steadfast on it, and when we are faced with situations, then when it is amana, it is amana. We don't go beyond that in whichever field it may apply to us. So we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this quality. Brothers, it's a very important, serious matter I need to bring to the attention of the congregation here, and it's our responsibility. Brought this up before also. It is the right and the haq of everyone in this masjid to enjoy a peaceful salah. It is the right and the haq of everyone in this masjid to be here away from all the noise in the home, in the shop, in the streets, and to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is here. Very important. But this right is being violated by us ourselves. And on a Friday, other namaz times also, there is noise taking place. There are children coming and running. There is one fellow running right there now. Hussein bhai. Standby is not here. I don't know where standby. Please keep the children quiet there. The children, we love children. We like them to be here. We have no problem. But please educate your children. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, don't bring two small children to the masjid. Some people, they're not going to tell you. They're going to come and tell the imam every few days, wanna do something about this noise. So what we are saying is it's everybody's haq. When we come here and we make noise, and the noise hotspots for Jummah time, I want to point it out, not to persons, but to places. One is in the courtyard, as I'm seeing now, there's so much of noise taking place there. One is in that corner there. One is here when you enter from the glass doors. Don't look at anybody who's sitting there. I'm not going to accuse anybody. One is in that old Wuzukhana area. Too much of noise taking place. People are complaining that they can't listen to a lecture. The people are complaining that they can't read their sunnats in peace. So when we are in the masjid, if we have to be here, let us respect the rights of everybody. Everybody's have to be here. And when the salah is out on a Friday, please let us live quietly. There are people reading sunnats there. They come here to enjoy their relationship and link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are others who come in the masjid and we take away that from them. We put a board there outside, silence, masjid. But listen to the noise inside the masjid. What's the point of having the board? Rather, they should put the board here inside the masjid. So I appeal to my beloved brothers, please respect the masjid. Do not allow the sanctity of the masjid to be defiled. Do not let it become a norm. Everybody can come and talk loudly and discuss and do what they want to. And yeah, it's okay. We can make noise in the masjid. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. Thank you.